Father, we thank you for the first gift, the first Christmas gift that was ever given, and that is your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Prince of Peace, our fortress, our buckler, our shield. We thank you, Lord, for this gift, Lord. We give you praise. We honor you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal this morning through your word, through this message, take these stammering lips, this inadequate tongue, and use it for your honor and glory. I surrender to you, Lord. Use me, but hide me, Lord, and let it be you that's seen and exalted in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We pray for a special touch on every heart and every person that's here this morning and everyone who will hear this message as it goes out, Lord. Once again, I echo, we thank you for what you're doing in this house, Lord. We thank you for where you're taking us. We thank you, Lord. Never forget where you brought us from, Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And thank you in advance. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Donna put a statement in the bulletin this morning, and she read it to us. And while we understand the sentiment, and while there's some truth to that, or some fact to it, the real truth is that the facts that were, that condemned us, you know, that we needed Jesus for, don't exist anymore. Are you with me? Are you with me? Those things that would have, that we deserved to suffer for, that Jesus took the place of, he did away with it once and for all. There is no more accusation against us. Y'all believe that? There's no more accusation against us. The handwriting of ordinances has been blotted out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's something to be grateful and thankful for. Amen. With all of my heart this morning, I want everyone to really, really be touched by God. And to, I mean, it's going to expound a little bit about what we talked about Wednesday night, but it's going to come from the avenue of a couple of passages that deal with the birth of Jesus and what this time is all about. We'll start in Isaiah chapter 9, two verses, verses 6 and 7. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. In honor of God's word, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. In honor of God's word, would you stand with me one more time, please? Honor him and honor his word. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. Did you get that? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the thrones of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The Lord, or the zeal of the Lord of hosts, will perform this.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your word. Amen. Now, just real quickly, I'm not going to go through a lot of the definitions and things. I do have some things that I want to say. In verse 6, it says, it talks about the government. What does that mean? It means rule and dominion. So of his rule and dominion, he will have rule and dominion on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful. That word wonderful just translates simply marvelous. His name will be called Marvelous. Counselor, the advisor or counselor. Mighty is mighty God, that means the champion, the chief, or the valiant man. Hallelujah. Okay? And the Prince of Peace. Then it says, of the increase of his rule and dominion and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish, that word establish means to sustain, to stay, to support, to uphold, and to comfort. Amen. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. It with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. And the zeal, and that word zeal doesn't mean probably what you think it does. It means the jealousy, according to the concordance, the Greek and Hebrew. The jealousy of the Lord of hosts will perform this. How many know we serve a jealous God? He's jealous over you. You know, Wednesday night we talked about some situations that have gone on in all of our lives. One that was very prevalent that Bill brought to mind. He was experiencing it right at that moment, and I think there were one or two others. And one of the things we need to understand is the point that in those times when these things, and I'm going to go through and give you some more insight to some of this that I'm going to read to you this morning. I've just got a few scriptures, but and it's not long. I don't even have two full pages. So, but the point is that when we're going through things, sometimes it's easy to lose focus. And some of the definitions here for some of the... Well, I'm going to read it to you. I better just keep on going here, and we'll get to it. And I think you'll see and understand. In Luke 2:11, it says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, we all know what saved means. It's the word sozo. And it means safe. Saved from something to something. We all know that the Bible says in this life we're going to suffer some persecutions. We're going to suffer some things that are not pleasant. I mean, when somebody comes to you who's a family member and says, through no fault of your own, I don't want to see you anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Don't come around anymore. That's not very pleasant. But the point is, we have a Father and an advocate who's making intercession for us and who's promised us that because of the birth of His Son, when we're rejected by the world or by the biological family we have, the Lord takes us up. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read that again. Luke 2:11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the anointed Lord." Praise God. Now, I want to tell you that it doesn't make any difference what afflictions, what infirmities, what things try to attack us, where they come from or what they are. Your Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with the weaknesses, with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may," what? "Obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Let me read that again. I don't think you've got the full meaning of that. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain." We're going to get something when we go to the throne of grace. That veil that separated us and the high priest is no longer there. We have the ability to go right into the Holy of Holies, to the presence of God, right into His throne room. Amen? Hallelujah. Y'all are missing some good places to praise the Lord, I'll tell you. That we may obtain what? Mercy. and find grace, unmerited favor, to help in the time of need. See, the facts that would condemn us are no longer there. If we didn't hear anything else this morning, that would be enough to go home on right there and meditate the rest of the week. Right. Hallelujah. I don't think there's a person in this room that has not at some point gone through something or had somebody turn on them or gone through some kind of unpleasant situation, whether it's somebody rejecting you. How many like rejection? But you know what? He'll never reject you. Your Bible says that He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Did you hear me? That's what your Bible says. You read it. It's there. In Psalm 34, verse 19, it said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Now that word "many" means much, great, abounding, numerous, strong, and exceeding. So much, great, abounding, numerous, strong, and exceeding are the afflictions, and that word "afflictions" means bad, disagreeable, malignant, unpleasant, evil. Excuse me. Displeasing, sad, unhappy, unkind, distressful, injurious, and adversities. Now, Bill, when you got that message from your family here just this past week, wouldn't you say that pretty much every one of those fit in? It was sad. It was injurious. It was displeasing. It made you unhappy. It was unkind. It was distressful. Right? But you see, we've been redeemed from that. That was the reason. Jesus didn't just come to die on the cross so that we could have fire insurance. He came to redeem us from all the ungodliness and all of the hurt and the sin and everything else that tries to overtake us. And most of all, from the influence of the enemy in our lives. How many know Christians have the ability sometimes to be kind of not in the image and likeness of God? Oh, come on now. You guys know what I'm talking about. You agree? You can agree here. If you can't say agree, say oh me. You know, say amen or oh me, one or the other. You know? How many, in fact, I can tell you right now, in my life, and probably many of you, you've been hurt in churches. You know? And I'm here to tell you once again, just because you stand in a garage and call yourself a car, it does not make you a car. Just because you go to church on Sunday and you are faithful to go to church, and because you call yourself a Christian, doesn't mean that you are. Now, we're not the judge of that. God is. But what we are the judge of and what we have the ability to do through the abilities God's given us is to look at the fruit in each individual's life. Amen?
Yes.
And sometimes we get a little ugly, too. Come on now. This is not to tear you down, but let's don't lie against the truth. Amen? Sometimes we get a little ugly. I wish that wasn't the truth, but it is. But it says the afflictions of the righteous. Y'all can say that includes me. Excuse me. He's still a liar. He's not going to get me down.
No.
He's been trying, but he's not succeeding.
Amen.
The attack's against the Word, not me, and the attack will fail because it can't stand against God and His Word.
Amen.
And he can't steal the Word. It's sitting in my heart. Hallelujah. And I have been redeemed. How about you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of the righteous. Righteous means just, lawful, and correct. I'm going to put this all together in just a minute. But the Lord The word Lord means Jehovah or Yahweh. Delivers them, and that means, now listen carefully, snatches away, rescues, or strips away, or plucks. Him or you out of them all. And out of them all means the whole, anything, everything, and totally. Did you get that? So let's look at this. It said much, great, abounding, numerous, and strong, and exceeding are the bad, disagreeable, malignant, unpleasant, evil, displeasing, sad, unhappy, unkind, distressful, injurious adversities of the righteous or the just, the lawful, and correct. You can say that me. That's me. Oh, come on, you guys. Don't be bashful. Let's be bold here because it's the truth. But Jehovah or Yahweh snatches away, rescues, strips away, and plucks him or you out of them all, or the whole, any and every thing that comes totally. It's all I can do to stand here and not just dance a jig, I'm telling you. You know, this is good stuff. This is the depth of the reason why Jesus came. Not only did he come to take us away from the impending doom that we faced, from the penalty that we were supposed to suffer because of our ungodliness and our sin and our lawfulness, but now he's made the way so that we can be pulled out of, so that we have a way to be not affected by, unless we allow it in our lives, all of the things and all of the enemy's tactics that come against us to try to tear us down. We all know that we have emotions. God gave emotions. Emotions are not sin. It's what whether you allow the emotions to direct you and to guide you or to lead you, or you let them have control, or you control the emotions. And the way you do that is by the Word. What's the Word? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's living. It's alive. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, according to Hebrews. Amen? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 16:2. My present to you this morning is a very short message. Proverbs 16:2. Now listen, because we keep our focus on the Lord, and because we understand what we just read, and when we meditate on this, what that means is we're in a place where we please our Father, and we please the Lord. Amen? Now, you want to hear the promise that goes along with that? Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen. Sometimes the enemy can be, or the enemies can be those of your own household. Amen? Pray, you know, it's just a fact, you know. Every one of us have had an attack by somebody in our very own families. Now, that doesn't mean we write them off or reject them. We pray for them. We thank God. But we don't let their words have an effect in our lives. We take on the whole armor of God, especially the shield of faith, which is able to quench those fiery darts which are meant to tear us down and destroy us emotionally, to cause hurt in our lives. Amen? The shield of faith quenches the fiery darts. It means it reaches out. When you study that word and talk study about the shield, it means it reaches out violently, aggressively, grabs a hold of the darts, extinguishes them, and violently throws them to the ground. They can't get through. And the way that works is by keeping your mind stayed on Him. Amen? Yeah. He will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on Him. Huh, Bill? He walked out of here completely a different man than when he walked in Wednesday night. Because the Word. Because of the faithfulness of God. And because of the things that He's grown in over these many years. Amen? They're going to come, folks. They're going to come. But we don't have to succumb to the pressure and the heaviness of those things. Because Jesus, that infant that was born in Bethlehem, 2,000 years ago, came. And what he did was not just for physical healing alone. It wasn't just to redeem us from an impending sentence of death because of lawlessness and ungodliness. But it's to restore us in every way and in every aspect of our life to right standing with Him, to bring boldness, joy, confidence into our lives so that we can be everything that He has for us to be. Not only, well, it's for the world. How do you know you're not here for you? You're here for somebody else. Jesus came not for Himself, but He came for the Father, and He came for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All the calamities, the heartaches, the setbacks that we face cannot stop or keep us down, especially when we meditate on the Word and remember the things that we've talked about this morning. Those things designed to steal the Word of God from us and to steal the joy can't stand, and they can't have an effect on us as long as our focus is stayed on Him. It can't steal our peace. Can't steal our joy. Amen. And if for a moment you do lose it, there's no condemnation in Him. Doesn't your Bible say that? There's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus today? Is He in you? Then there's no condemnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember always that He's a restorer. He's the God of restoration. He's the God of reconciliation. And that means that no matter what is said out of whoever's mouth, and this is for the benefit of everybody, not just Bill, but whatever's said out of people's mouths, that's not the end of the story. Amen? And I promise you, even if it comes out of somebody's mouth who ought to know better, there's healing and restoration and deliverance for them and forgiveness. You just do your part and let God do His part. Amen? Release it to Him. Don't sit and dwell in it and wallow in it. Just release it to Him and watch Him raise you up. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I began to think about this on Friday morning after Wednesday, I mean, I've been thinking about it ever since Wednesday night, but as I began to think about it on Friday morning, as I was working in a particular place, I have a lot of time to myself. And because of the season, it's so quiet in this healthcare facility that I really was pretty much had the whole day just to kind of meditate on the Word as I sat there. And the cool thing is I got a computer where I can get on and kind of look up some scriptures and get on an online concordance and stuff. So, I tell you what, God's good. He can even put you in a job where you can get paid to study the Word. Woohoo! That ought to excite you. Ladies and gentlemen, your Bible says that you're loved with an everlasting love. Once again, Jesus didn't come just to say, well, here's all the good stuff. You just do with it what you want to. Hope you make it. But He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that came when Jesus went to the grave, went to the cross and then went to the grave, came to remind us of God's Word, to keep us encouraged and keep us lifted up and keep our focus in a place where we can walk. I didn't say hope to walk. I said walk in victory. Once again, we're not victims. We're victors. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's all because of God's Word. And what's cool about it, it's not because of a word we hope for. It's a word that's been fulfilled by the work that was done on the cross. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this Christmas season, this when we celebrate tomorrow and Sunday, however you celebrate, be mindful. Be mindful of what you really have and of the greatest gift that you've ever received in your life. The first and best gift that was ever given. A Father, our Heavenly Father, who gave up His only begotten Son because He loved us so much, so that we wouldn't perish, but we'd have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm encouraged. And you know, in the searching that I've done about this season and about all the rhetoric, you know, when I was a kid, I was probably like most of the rest of you, all the rest of you, if the truth was known. I'd get excited and I'd get in the presence and stuff. But you know, that doesn't even faze me anymore. What excites me is what God's done. And I've spent this season just searching the ways of God and searching my heart. I got a CD that to me was worth... In fact, you can't put a price on it. There's not enough money in this world that could have paid for what that gift meant to me, for my daughter and son-in-law. It's a CD of my grandchildren and when my children got married. And for those of you who are guests here, I had the privilege of marrying my daughter and son-in-law. But the relationship that I have with my grandkids, the relationship I have with my kids, that CD starts out and it shows my first granddaughter being born and going through her life up until her mom and dad were married. And then, now here a year ago, just a little over a year ago, my second granddaughter was born. And it shows that. I got off work the other morning, and about 2 o'clock, I got home about 2:30. And before it was over with, I was supposed to be to work at 8. I was going to get up at 6, and I got maybe an hour and a half sleep because I sat and watched that thing. I laughed. I cried. But I was blessed, and I couldn't wait to tell them. See, those are the kind of things that are worth more than all the money you can spend in the world and anything you can buy. Those are the things that are everlasting. Amen? That's the blessings of God in this life. Do you realize the Bible says your children are a heritage of the Lord? Amen? Those are the gifts that we need to be looking at in this season. Not all this. I mean, it's not wrong. Hey, folks, I'm not telling you it's wrong to give or receive gifts. But I'm saying we need to keep our focus on what's important and what the real meaning of this season is. It's easy to get lost in all that gift giving. But what's important is we keep our focus on Him and we remember the good things He's given to us. Good health. The ability to walk in health. Children. Godly brothers and sisters and friends. Amen? That's what's important. It's not easy to lose a loved one. It's not easy. Most everybody in here has lost somebody they loved. It was very close to them. But the point is, it wasn't very, very comfortable at the time. But the point is, God's the one who comes and sustains. Amen? His Spirit and Jesus come on the scene. And they sustain. And they wipe away the tears and wipe away the heartache. And you come out on the other end better than when you went in. Amen? I'm not diminishing the fact that we don't miss them. But the point is, this is not the end of the story. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I pray that you're encouraged by this morning. Again, not long-winded, but to the point, I hope, direct. Give you something to really, really thank the Lord for. The gift of His Word at this time. The gift of encouragement. He loves you. You know, it would be impossible for me to sit and make this stuff up. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't want to. But when I seek God and God begins to touch my heart based on the things that I know and the things that happen to you and to me, God gives these thoughts and these words so that you will be blessed and come out stronger than when you came in, when you went in. Amen? Than when you started. Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We echo, Lord, the words, what is man that you're mindful of him? But you cared, Lord. You created us for your fellowship with you. And there's not one human being that's not important to you, Lord. We pray for those who either have not made the decision or who have made the wrong decision today, Lord. that while there's still breath, there's hope. We pray that in this time, Lord, that someone will come and reach out and give those words of life. That they'll share the Christ that's in them, which is the hope of glory for those who don't know and those who need encouraging, Lord. Christ, you in us, Lord, the hope of glory, which no man can know without you, without knowing you. They can never know the Father who created them, because no man comes to the Father except through Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that not only are the hearts encouraged here today, Lord, but they're strengthened. That their focus has been taken to a different level and a different place this morning. Now, Lord, with all of our hearts in agreement, Lord, in unity, we thank you and praise you and give you honor and glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayer of any kind, please don't be bashful. Right where you're at, if you want to just lean to somebody next to you and say, "Will you pray for me?" Or if you want to have prayer, you're welcome to come. I want this to be the best Christmas you've ever had. Based on the blessings and the thoughts, the words, and the experience of God in your life. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Yes. It's going to end. It's going to end. You have a promise. You have a promise. And Stephen, the more he comes, the more he's going to know that he needs to make the decision. I'd remind you, Karen, don't be weary in well-doing. I know sometimes it seems forever. But don't give up. Don't give in. That's what the enemy wants to do, is to bring you to the place where you lose hope because you don't see what it is that you're seeking for. The devil is a liar. Stephen's making strides, we know that. And I understand it's hard, but you just continue to take a stand and do what God tells you to do. And let Stephen see. I can tell you what I can already tell you what I feel in my spirit. I don't have a time frame, but I can tell you what I feel. If Stephen's going to realize and see what a damaging effect this brother of his has on him, his family, and everything else, and tell him, head down the road. And how that's going to come, it's going to come by the Word. Karen, you and I didn't change overnight. The Word took time to get into our spirits and get into our hearts and change us. And for us to believe it. But God's working on him. God's going to continue to work on him. He works in him both to will, just like you and I, to do of his good pleasure. To will and to do of his good pleasure. Father, I pray for supernatural intervention and strength for Bob and Karen right now. Father, I send your word and say, be at peace. Be encouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. The Lord is your advocate. He's your ever-present help in time of need. And we just read this morning that he's the one who is the high priest that can, he says he can't, it's not that he can't be touched, but he can be touched, and he is touched by the feelings of those things that come against you. It's coming. It's coming. Don't get weary. Don't get discouraged. You know, again, you got a promise, Karen. You got a promise. You got a promise that the Bible says you and your house will be saved. And I'm not talking about David just being taken out of the picture. I'm talking about his soul being swept from eternity in hell to eternity with the Lord. Whatever the situation, God knows. I don't know the whole situation, but God knows. What I would also pray is that you will do without hesitation or reservation what God tells you to do, whatever that is. I'm not here to dictate what that is, but I'm here when you hear His voice that you will know unquestionably and you'll do what God tells you to do. And sometimes, see, what brought this on, and one of the things we talked about Wednesday night, something that happened to me this week, is because of the youth and the, what's the word I want to use? It escapes me. Immaturity, thank you, of my daughter-in-law. My son came to me and said, Dad, it looks like this whole thing could be over. Well, you know what? It wasn't pleasant when his mom walked out on me and the kids. But our heart and our prayers is still the fact that she'll turn around. She'll come back to what she knows is right. So at least he has some experience. But the point is, sometimes you got to stand up and you got to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't. You know, people want to use... How many know that people use excuses to try to justify their actions? Don't lie against the truth. Don't make excuses for wrong. Call it wrong and ask God to intervene. Amen? Amen? Ask God to intervene. He cares. Call upon Him in the time of trouble. And what does He promise? He'll show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. And not only that, He says they'll be far above what you could even ask or think. Our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for us that love Him. And I'll remind all of us that He didn't bring us this far just to turn around and leave us or to see one part of our life go down the tube. He didn't do it. But we have an obligation. We have an obligation. We can't shirk back from that. And we can't get weary. We can't get weary. Oh, I know. There's times, you all know this. There's times when you get to the point where you're just ready to say, Lord, I'm not sure if it's worth it. And yet, when you really stop for a minute, you get silent before Him after you've been brutally honest with Him. And all of a sudden, that peace, that encouragement comes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done in the name of Jesus. It's finished. Hallelujah. And the outcome is going to bring glory to You, Lord. Anybody else? God's good. God is good. Praise the Lord. The Bible says His name is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and are safe. Remember that. No matter what it is that you're facing or that you either are facing or just start to face or you're going to face tomorrow, remember that. His name is a strong tower. You run into Him and you're safe. You're comforted. There are loving arms there who will wrap around you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anything else? Father, right now in Jesus' name, I lift up every need that's represented here, spoken or unspoken. And I thank you, Lord, that in you, every need is met. Every need is met. There's nothing beyond your ability or your desire to take care of, Lord. You've come to give us life and that more abundantly. So right now, I thank you. I send the word to every situation, to every person who's here, and over that situation that may be facing, they're facing in their life or they're about to face. And I thank you, Lord, that you've got it all under control. Once again, I remind us all, we're never out of control, Lord, if you're in control. And that's a decision we have to make every day. To place you at the very highest place in our life. To give you full place, Lord. Not just partly, when it's comfortable or when we're in trouble, but all the time. Now, Lord, I pray, make your face to shine upon. I speak this on these people. Make your face to shine upon them. Let that peace and that hope that only you have the ability to bring and to give fill every heart this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Now, Lord, we sanctify the food and the fellowship in Jesus' name that we're about to partake of, Lord. We give you thanks for it. We thank you for this time in your presence, Lord. We thank you for your presence here, for your direction, your correction. And once again, we proclaim we'll never be the same. Seal your word in every heart. That's in a prayer that was already prayed, and we're in agreement with that, Lord. Go with us. You are the reason for the season, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your name, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord. Amen. Be dismissed.